Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
The Houston Astros battle the Boston Red Sox in the American League Championship Series. And each game-changing moment can be found right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Game 1 begins tonight at 7. Now, back to the bench from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
Hour number 3, it's Lance and Freddie D. And coming up, we have Dell Olole. You guys know Dell. I don't know why I say his last name. We have Dell coming in studio. He's got a... Now, here's the thing with Dell.
Legend, Dell Olole.
Yeah, let's not gas him up too much. For
I'm
already
gassing him.
He's a problem.
Because Dell, you know, Dell's one of those dudes that, you know, he's not going to hype himself up. All right? He's one of the most humble guys.
Or you or me. He won't hype anyone up.
No, he certainly won't. No, that is fair.
He is the human wet blanket.
But respect his decision. Respect his
decision. Respect his decision. That's his podcast.
And we do, you know, and listen, we've actually, so, you know, Dell and I do the Two Deep, the college show on the Sports Map Radio.
Yeah, that's right. You do that with him. I forgot about that.
And so, you know, I knew Dell, but I didn't know Dell, right, when we started that show. And so, and you know how radio is. You kind of, you know, there's a feeling out period and all that, to the point where Dell and I are now in lockstep when it comes to lampooning the dating life of our producer, Blackjack McCraw. Oh. And that's now become a part of the show where
Making fun of somebody. That's a stretch for him.
Really?
Almost
we got him out
that.
Of his comfort zone.
So here's the thing. Go over to Dell's house this weekend and go watch some games with him. I'll just throw the invite out there for you.
I appreciate
to go to
that.
His house. He likes it when people do that. And hug him when you see him. Also give him some hugs.
That's it.
But the other thing is, have you seen the new Dell? Are you aware of the new Dell?
I mean, I saw him on... I mean, he and I do the show every Saturday. I saw him last Saturday. Did I notice... He had a goatee. I noticed that.
He's mustache Dell.
I did.
Dell has a new mustache. Remember when Cartman grew the beard and he was evil? Like, evil Cartman had a goatee and he was like... There was a bizarro evil Cartman. It's the exact same with Dell and the mustache.
You know, I noticed it, but I didn't really see the mustache as much as I just saw the, you know. But I figure it's a Saturday night. Maybe he just, you know, he hadn't shaved. And
he's turned into an old Nigerian man. He's got a mustache. And so I want to see what new mustache Dell has for me today in the world of college football.
Do we think he's trimmed it up at all from Saturday to today? Because it should be in pretty good shape from now to...
He's going full goatee. I just think he's going mustache from what I've seen.
Okay.
We'll see. Maybe
Which
he goes goatee.
Let's call it what it is. Anybody can grow a goatee.
Yeah.
It takes a special someone to grow the stash.
I'm actually with you on that.
Okay.
You got to have a swagger in this day and age if you're going to grow a mustache. If you're not a Latin American man... Or if you're
a brother with the pencil stash.
Yeah, there's a lot of different directions you can go in. But the mustache direction, if you're under like 45, 46 years old, it is not a move you see that often.
Unless you're going as Ted Lasso for Halloween.
Okay, I'm so glad you just brought that up.
My wife brought that up last night. She looked at me, she goes, "You should just shave everything and go as Ted Lasso for Halloween." And she hates mustaches. I was like, "Are you sure?"
That's actually not a bad idea, yeah.
She goes, "No, I'm kidding. Don't do that."
Let me ask you guys.
Oh, okay.
Real quick. You asked me this during the break, and we talked about Succession.
HBO
Where
show.
Are you at on Ted Lasso? I can't get through the first episode.
So I like Ted Lasso. You have to give it time because I had some of the same concerns. It seems corny, and you know, I was like, this seems like a sketch from Saturday Night Live. If you give it some time, it will start to grow on you because it does. Yeah. It expands because you're a TV. You're a guy. Just in talking to you, I can tell you. You give shows a chance.
I appreciate a good show.
To me, you have to give Ted Lasso a chance because I went into it thinking it was one thing, but what eventually happens is the character becomes less, like, they add a little depth to the character, his relationship and who he is as a person. It's still a kind of a feel-good show, but but it doesn't end the way that you think it's going to end all the time. Like, things happen that you think, okay, well, this is what would usually happen, and it doesn't happen that way. So I think Ted Lasso 100% is worth giving it three or four shows and letting it develop sometime. I'm always, I try to be big on, so a friend of mine, I do a podcast with Eric Layden. He's an actor. And we've had this discussion before where we talked about how good House of Cards was, just phenomenal. And then it started to jump the shark. And he said, look, it's really hard. Like Succession right now is outstanding. And they have season three starting on Sunday. One of the things that has to happen, he said, is writers have to continue. He said, it's really hard for a writer to go beyond three seasons because you start to, you've already fleshed out who the character is and a lot of the storylines are already put together. Yeah. And then when I started thinking about, you know what, what's the show that the guy from Billions was in? Not Sleep.
Homeland.
Homeland lost some juice for me after about season three. You said Billions was great for the first three seasons, and then it kind of, I think
Ray Donovan, same thing. Now, I've also heard people say that Showtime shows are notorious for petering out after three seasons.
We're going through a bunch of Showtime shows, so that makes sense. Jinji Cohen, who wrote Weeds, I thought Weeds was great for the first two seasons, and then it went in a toilet after that. That's why when I see shows like Schitt's Creek and The Office and comedy, and well, these are comedies, but for them, Modern Family, for them to last that long with the writing still that good.
Comedies, I feel like you can last 30 minutes. Right? You know what I'm saying? And you know, like a show like like Seinfeld, which, you know, I'm dating myself, but I mean, that went on what, 8-9 seasons?
Yeah, you're right. Long form shows. Now,
although
are
at the same time, too, though, a lot would argue Seinfeld wouldn't make it today because the first two seasons were not as funny. Right, and so they don't know that a show like that would get necessarily the leeway.
Oh,
that
The
it did
Office
way back
had a
when.
Hard time catching. They didn't know if
you
the
couldn't
office
do The Office today.
No, I don't think you. Could.
I mean, where are we at? You couldn't. I mean, that show's what, 10 years old, the last season of it, and you couldn't do The Office today.
I don't think you could do The Office.
You'd be hard pressed to do Seinfeld today.
Maybe
you could. I tell you what, could you do the episode where they thought Jerry and George were gay?
No.
I mean, think about the brush back you would get from that episode.
You don't think you could do that?
I tell
one?
You what, you could do that episode, but do you not? I mean, let's call it what it is. Is that show any less, that episode any less demeaning or funny or tongue in cheek than what Chappelle said about gays and his closer skin
and
caught all kinds of hell for it?
I'd have to go back and see that. But Dave is uncancelable. Chappelle is uncancelable because here's why: he's his own boss.
That doesn't hurt.
And Netflix's CEO actually took a stand and said, look, we don't believe, basically he said, we don't believe that this is real world stuff. In other words, he's basically pointing out, this is a Twitter thing. This is amplified by Twitter. Now his own people and Netflix, I guess, if they're going to stage a walkout or something like that. Well, we'll see how that goes for him. But basically, Dave Chappelle is basically saying, look, I'm going to keep doing comedy the way comedy's always been done. And, you know, I'm not, don't try to overdo it and say things that I didn't say.
That's
don't
it.
Try to make too big a deal out of this and that. I'm watching because I'm interested to see.
Have you seen it?
No. I haven't seen that, but I'm going to. I've seen the other ones. But I'm interested to see how, what I mean is, I'm going to be watching to see how this plays out because I remember talking to Patrice O'Neill about this. Now, Patrice O'Neill was a comedian. He's passed away. We had him on the show a couple times. I think his stand-up is just absolutely brilliant. But Patrice talked about this years ago. Like, he defended Imus when Imus came out. And now, this is before
the Rutgers basketball
team. This is before
team.
All the... Yeah, exactly. And this is before... Patrice's whole thing is, if I don't have his back on his... You know, when he says something that is stupid or whatever, comedy, he goes, what's going to happen to comedy? Well, Patrice passed away and might not have seen that what's happened to comedies. It's become a lot harder.
Oh, absolutely.
Depending on where you are. So comedians, I think Dave Chappelle's basically saying, look,
he's the last of a dying breed.
I can take a stand because no one's going to do, I can say this is how comedy's supposed to be. And there's only a few comedians like that. I know we're off the topic of sports, but this is, to me, I think it's kind of an interesting thing where they're saying, look, comedy, I'm going to stand up for comedy because you can't, Dave Chappelle's uniquely positioned to where he can take a stand if you want, and Netflix isn't getting rid of him. And
no.
Really, if he wants to keep doing touring shows, he can keep doing touring shows. Oh, they'll continue to sell out, and it won't be a problem. So Dave's kind of his own. He's his own boss.
Well, you're right, and he's unique in the sense that he's one of the few guys in comedy that has that much runway, as they like to say.
Yeah, so. No question. Let's Oh, okay. I got a little something for Dell when he comes back. Uh-oh. Let's do this giveaway. Good point. Good point. I want to mention a couple things. Before I get to the giveaway, I do want to mention that our guy Freddie Fowler has just launched a new site, sportsmapelite.com. It's a new way to look at gambling, picks, trends, information. You got sports betting, horse picks, plays, poker. It's basically Fred.
It's Fred
Poker,
online.
Horse racing, sports bet. That's Fred.
Yeah.
Tons of content on every sport to help you make the most educated wager. Sign up today for your monthly subscription. Everyone who subscribes in October is going to get the first 3 days free and an entry into an online poker free roll in December. Get in the game. Sign up today at sportsmapelite.com.
You a poker guy?
I am.
Okay.
Although I haven't, not like that. Like, when I have my chance, I like to play. I haven't not played for a while, but when I get into it, I really like it.
But you're not Fred Fowler.
No.
Ish. Or Jerry Bowe.
No. Okay. I'm not as in there. But when I do get into it, I'm really into it. Right now I've got a giveaway for you. Houston Sports and Social Club is having their annual Oktoberfest next Friday and Saturday, the 22nd and 23rd at Buffalo Bayou Park. You can enjoy food, live music, stein hoisting competition, and much more. Caller number 5 at 713-780-3776 is going to win a 4-pack of tickets to join in the Oktoberfest fun. Saturday, October 23rd, visit OktoberfestHouston.com for more information. Limited VIP tickets are still available. Kids 15 and under are free, but they don't get a hoist of steins.
Mm.
Kids 15 and under free, OktoberfestHouston.com. Caller number 5, 713-780-3776 is going to get a 4-pack of tickets to join in the Oktoberfest fun. We come back. We'll jump into, you know what? Dealer's Choice. I'm going to let you lead the next segment. I'm thinking you're going to want to go some NFL or college football.
Let's do some NFL.
We'll do that.
Let's do some NFL.
9:16, we'll duck into some NFL games coming up next right here on the bench.
G'day, mates. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston Sabercats. When I'm not playing rugby, I'm listening to John and Lance on the bench. Go Sabercats.
X gon' give it to you. What? For you to get it on your own, X go deliver to you.
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
I just learned something today.
You're going to learn something. You're going to learn something else in about 11 minutes. Well, wait. I keep forgetting that's your work.
Every Saturday.
It's your work wife or work husband. However, y'all want to figure that out.
My work side piece.
Yeah.
Every Saturday from 5 to 8, me, Dell, and our boy Blackjack McCraw.
So, what do y'all do? Talk about the games. You give updates from the games. Like, how do y'all do it?
It's a cornucopia of all things college football. I mean, essentially, it's kind of like a red zone version where we just keep you updated on everything that's going on. I mean, those shows like that. They sound a lot easier than they are because you're constantly trying to – you want to get the latest and greatest information, but at the same time, too, as you know, you're not trying to do play-by-play at the same time.
Yeah.
Right? So you're trying to keep games that are going on. And you know how college football is. There's always at least one game in the top 25 where it's either upset alert or something along those – or it's a good game. It's going down to the wire. And so, you know, for 3 hours, and it's – you know, I mean, you know how I host a show. And then, of course, it's basically, you know, me going 100 miles an hour – kicking it off to Dell, him throwing in his two cents, and then we rock and roll with it for 3 hours.
Yeah.
That's it.
Good. We'll check it out. Is it available? Because we have a lot of games on, so sometimes your broadcast
I want to say it's on 92.5 here locally for those of you scoring at home, and then, of course, you can always listen to it on the Sports Map radio app.
Yeah, there you go. Let's get Greg in here. He wants to talk Dolphins. What's up, Greg?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for taking the call. Hey, listen, Lance, I didn't know if you saw the comments on Michael Lombardi recently, and he's probably been pounding this for a while, but his critique of Chris taking Tua right there at number 5 over Herbert, I thought was pretty spot on. And the question I had is, you know, if you were all hot and bothered for Joe Burrow, but then you didn't take Herbert at 5 right there. I'm trying so hard to still give Chris the benefit of the doubt, but I don't understand that one.
Can I tell you what I heard?
On Najee Harris.
You want to know what I heard?
Say again?
You want to know what I heard regarding that? Here's what I heard this weekend. I heard that Chris Greer preferred Herbert in a close one between Herbert and Tua. I heard that Stephen Ross, on the other hand, the owner, had Dan Marino in his ear, and that Dan Marino was pushing hard for Tua. Love Tua.
Why?
And I think it came, we don't want to rewrite history. Like, Tua was considered this hot prize. Remember, it was tank for Tua. All the Dolphins fans wanted a tank for Tua that year. And Tua was a name guy. I also want to make sure that we remember Herbert correctly coming out. Herbert was a guy who was wildly inconsistent in some of his biggest games. He was not super accurate all the time.
Yeah.
And had not shown tremendous growth from his sophomore year to his senior year. He was pretty much the same guy, and he had not consistently played like that. So I think we have to make sure that we remember accurately Herbert coming out and Tua coming out. But to your point, Greg, if Chris Greer liked Herbert better than Tua, which I heard he did, why go Tua? I think the owner, since it was close between the two, I think the owner maybe made a strong push for Tua, and with having Dan Marino in his ear, and who he really, really implicitly trusts, that may have been the reason, Greg, is that maybe it wasn't a big enough Herbert gap over Tua where Chris Greer wanted to bang the table for one guy over the other with the owner. That might have been the case.
But didn't Herbert ball the Senior Bowl, though?
He did. Herbert was really good at Senior Bowl, and I think Herbert, to me, was just looked and felt different than the other guys at the combine. He looked and felt different.
Like a prototypical NFL. I mean, I would think just from physical traits alone.
Physical traits, no question. The ball comes out great.
Doesn't hurt that he's 6'6".
Look, and you know what's funny? It's funny because here's what I think about fans. Fans started freaking out when Greg, do you remember when the rumor started popping up that maybe Herbert might be the pick instead of Tua? How a lot of Dolphins fans started freaking out. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
I think it's funny that there's fans around football were upset when Josh Allen got drafted. Josh Allen, top five. Look, he was wildly inaccurate as well, and that usually doesn't fix, but he's fixed it.
That's amazing.
Danny Dimes, people lost their minds when Daniel Jones got drafted where he did. Like, sometimes fans need to chill a little bit and let guys play. I don't care where I have guys
like
graded
Mills?
Well, even with Davis Mills, he's a third rounder. But I mean, you know, the idea that Josh Allen couldn't play. Josh Allen is a legitimate MVP candidate. Herbert is a legitimate MVP candidate.
Yeah.
And Daniel Jones is starting to come around. He's going to have to do it over the long haul. So we still have a long ways to go. But I love how Twitter and really it's turned into a lot of guys on TV now. They have these strong hot takes on these quarterbacks.
That's all it is.
They haven't even spent nearly the time that somebody just like I have watching a tape and having an opinion of. And I have opinions about these guys, but I have strengths and weaknesses. I mean, you know, a lot of times you can go either way. But the one thing I'm going to do is let guys play. Why would you grade a draft unless an editor made you like they make us do? Why would you ever grade a test? Why would you does anyone ever give you a test and immediately pick it back up before you even write anything down and give you a grade? No.
No.
Let these guys play before you give them grades. And everyone crapping on all these quarterbacks like Herbert and Josh Allen and Daniel Jones, like I said, he still needs to prove it. Let guys have a chance to become players, because I can tell you what, I'll bet you Miami fans, the Tank for Tua fans, I'll bet you they're all on board for Justin Herbert, and most of them are off the bandwagon for Tua. That's what happens. You know, the Josh Allen people, I'm trying to remember that draft. It was Lamar Jackson.
Lamar, Baker
Rosen.
Mayfield.
Oh, you know, Josh Allen went after Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
I had Sam Darnold graded higher. It's not even close between those two quarterbacks now. Rosen is on a he's a backup now. Rosen's a backup somewhere. Lamar Jackson already has an MVP. Baker Mayfield, of course, if you had to rank the three.
Apparently, he's being blamed for Odell Beckham's shortfalls now, too, though.
It's such a joke. And that's why people look for excuses for certain players. Odell Beckham just is not a player anymore. Not like he used to be. That's not the same guy.
No.
And here's something else. He's not as good when he's throwing Odell Beckham. Is some of it... Hey, Odell Beckham...
Have you ever seen anything like that, though?
No, but Odell Beckham was not always the same player. Like, the Giants couldn't wait to get rid of him. And then with the Browns, he has not been the same. He just has not been the same player. He's had injuries, too.
He's had one good – he had that good game against Dallas last year.
I've seen players fall off quickly. My favorite player growing up was a wide receiver named John Jefferson, who was with the
– Wait a minute. From the Chargers?
Yeah.
Quick story. His wife was my teacher in middle school.
Really?
True story. DeWanda? Absolutely.
JJ, that was my favorite. I wanted to be a wide receiver. I didn't know that I had no chance. But when I was a kid, you know, right. you just don't know the rules. As a kid, I thought, I can be like John Jefferson, but you can't.
Yeah.
So anyway, and he fell off out of nowhere. And some of it had to do supposedly with work ethic, things like that. I'm just not sure that Odell Beckham Jr. is the same player anymore. I really doubt it. And if you start catering to guys that aren't the same players, like even Juice Landry is not the same. He's not the same guy either that he was when he came over there. That team is a running team that needs to play complementary passing football off the run. And that's cool. I'm with that. Like, I think your best chance for the Dallas Cowboys, I get that the Dak Prescott has, you know, done a great job passing the football last year before he got hurt and this year. But the reason that they are where they are is because Zeke is back and they're running the ball.
That 1-2 punch with him and Pollard.
You got to be able to run it. As a Chiefs fan, you know that at some point you got to be able to start running the football a little bit more. Got to be able to do it. When Kareem Hunt was there at the Chiefs, holy crap, man.
We're having a whole different discussion if Kareem Hunt's still the running back for the
Absolutely.
Chiefs.
Absolutely. And Edwards-Helaire is not even drafted, probably.
This dude's not even in the same ballpark.
Let's break it there. When we come back, we'll jump into...
the mustachioed one?
Yeah.
Where's
Dell will
at?
Come back. College
Where's
football.
He at?
He'll be here any second now.
All right.
Unless he took the time off. Let's get into Texas Custom Patios. I'm looking at the drawing they did for my guy, Ryan Lachane, over at Riel. They're looking at doing a... they're looking at doing a drawing for... Or rather, they did a drawing. They're looking at doing a patio for him. And this process is so cool. The way that they do the CAD drawing. And then the final result... It looks like an actual patio. You look like you're looking at a picture of a patio that's already been done. And I know that space, and I'm like, how are you going to get all of this in that space? But the answer is really simple. Texas Custom Patio does the measurements. They put it to scale. They use the CAD drawing system. And what you see when you are in the middle of doing a project with them is exactly what the patio is going to look like. Their workmanship, their quality. You're going to be blown away by the design, but you're really going to be blown away by the enjoyment it gives you. Whether you're having friends over and you're entertaining, whether it's just your spot, or maybe you and the family, or you and your boys go out there and watch games and drink local craft beers and do your grilling and barbecuing, it's a great time when you're on your patio from Texas Custom Patios. Go to the website and see the before and afters and get started with your free consultation at TexasCustomPatios.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Altuve with a swing and a high drive. Deep to left field and long, long gone.
Your Houston Astros advance to their fifth straight American League Championship Series.
Altuve backhand, throws from short center field. It is in time.
Now they face the Boston Red Sox in a rematch of the 2018 ALCS. Game one begins tonight at 7. Hear every single pitch right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Dell to the OL is in studio with us right now. I'm surprised you can even do anything after your big concert that you went to yesterday. Surprised you're dragging your carcass in here.
Yeah, I mean, I got home at 11:30. What a late night. I mean,
it is.
How did I ever recover from being in my home at 11:30?
Because you're not a big drinker. You don't strike me as one.
I didn't drink at all. So
he's a zero drinker. That's why John hates him.
Well, I hate John for other reasons. More reasonable, established reasons.
I would ask, since it's been such a massive topic on the show today, your mustache. Are we going to do anything with this thing? Are you going to let it really go? Are you doing the whole curly mustache thing? Del Orale, is it? Are you leaning into that?
Do I have to explain how hair works with you?
No, I know how it works.
I'm of a certain demographic who doesn't really have the ability to do the curl thing unless
Twirly mustache.
Unless I process it, and I'm not going to process my mustache. What's the matter with you? What's the matter with shoes?
No, you're not gonna process your mustache.
No.
Yeah, that's not. Yeah, I don't think you'll be able to get that.
Yeah, so no, I'm not gonna twirl. I'm not becoming a villain. Tying people to train tracks.
What
no,
about
I'm not
De
doing
Orale?
That.
Is that still a thing?
Do
though?
Whatever you want. I don't know
Can
why
we
you're
make it a t-shirt.
You're butchering two cultures. But
here's
go
the
ahead.
Real question: will you
butchering
ever...
Nigerian and Mexican culture? But sure, go ahead.
I've never seen a food truck like that. I'd like to see a Nigerian and Mexican food truck.
Oh, no, you want fusion?
I want a fusion.
That's a fusion word we've never
no, you're
heard
kind
of before.
A fusion person.
How so?
Dance Gavin Dance is kind of a fusion band for you to listen to.
It's not a fusion band. How is it fusion band?
You're kind of fusioning.
You just are saying the word with no real reason behind it.
What about
it.
Your favorite?
What? Evanescence? Go ahead. Is that what you wanted to say? You can't get off that joke, Gallagher. Here's the watermelon. Here's your hammer. Hit it again.
Evanescence, or who's the other one? The other girl? Not
I don't know.
Not Alanis Morissette, but there's
Who?
Some other.
Nelly Furtado?
Oh. No.
Oh,
no,
Natalie Imbruglia?
I like Nelly.
Yeah.
No, the skater girl. Your skater girl.
Oh, yeah. Avril Lavigne.
Yeah, that's my joke. You know, Avril's one of my favorite
jokes. You know, it's amazing. I think we're about the same age. I'm not sure how old she is. But you know, it's amazing that a kid at 18 would gravitate towards a popular pop singer who was attractive, who's my same age. It's amazing that I would actually like her. I don't know if I like their music so much. But yeah, that's a great joke, Lance. If you like me... Who was of your age at the time?
Well, what's your excuse for Reba McEntire?
I don't have... Oh, that was a great sitcom. I heard you
talk about
sitcoms
Reba
before.
Was.
You
Reba
didn't watch
was.
Reba,
I
you
did.
Liar.
Yes, I did.
Reba
I
was a good sitcom?
How do I know about oh, it absolutely. If I didn't watch it?
No, Reba did your was. Dad make you watch it?
Why would he make me watch it?
Why would you watch
don't
it?
Don't sleep on Reba.
Reba
was absolutely...
Reba was good.
Reba
was good?
Oh, yeah, she had. They had the dumb...
I didn't watch CBS
She had
shows.
Her dumb son-in-law.
Yes.
Yeah, and he's the dude on...
Shameless.
Shameless,
yeah. Yes.
Oh.
All jacked up.
I can't believe yeah. you watched Reba. Yeah,
no, Reba was good.
You see, you're
don't
kind
sleep
of a,
on Reba.
You're fusion.
You don't know my depths.
You're fusion. That's right. What I'm saying. You're fusion.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right. Let's get to our college football depths. First of all, what was going through your mind when you're watching Texas and Oklahoma? Obviously, first, it's Caleb Williams is absolutely taking Spencer Rattler's job. But when Oklahoma came back and beat Texas, like, what were some of the things you were thinking about?
I was thinking it's more of the same. This series has gone that way. I mean, sometimes Texas come out ahead. I mean, when Cameron Dicker made his kick, that made him famous. But that was a Kyler Murray game last year, four overtimes. That's kind of how the game is going. We talked about it on the 2-Deep, myself and Fred Davis, about how people were suggesting possibly that, oh, that's great for Texas. They competed with Oklahoma. They always do this. And what, Texas is in the game of close losses to Oklahoma?
Moral victories.
Yeah, that's how that game has gone the last couple of years.
Here's a question I have for you, Del Olle. What do you make of Spencer Rattler having a day off the next day?
We know that was a mental health day. We know what that was.
Now, was that him and his dad?
Yes, they were going over
strategizing.
Of course.
That sure felt like it to me. There ain't no way he's coming back
He had an illness. It's a mental health day.
That's right.
It's seeing if he was probably calling Jaden Daniels. Hey, are you going to go to the NFL? Because Arizona State looks like a good place. That's what that was about. I mean, Lincoln Riley wants to provide cover for his guy. But the unfortunate thing is, I guess, Spencer Rattler kind of fulfills everything that people said about him. Like, you saw the stuff on QB1. People were questioning what type of kid he was. And, you know, the minute that things appear not to go his way, all of a sudden he needs a day to himself. And it's what everyone thought would have happened. Like, when you saw Spencer Rattler get benched, you probably thought to yourself, he ain't fighting. There won't be no fight here.
There's no fight. It's,
no.
It's,
so and
he's the prototypical what people think of the Gen Z.
Yes.
Like, I'm just going to quit, take my ball and go home. I don't know if that's always fair, but he seems to fit it. He seems to magnify that stereotype because he is that guy, and I am interested to see if he fights back. But you know what? To that same extent.
How much can he fight back?
Well, is Hudson Card going to stick it out of Texas? You know, he did come back into the game for a two-point conversion.
He was ready for that. Maybe that play probably got repped over and over again with him making that throw, so that's why he did it.
That's the only reason.
Yeah, I don't want to take a shot at him. I'm just saying that what happened the last couple of days is what everyone probably expected to happen. Now, whether he decides his tenure at Oklahoma is over, so be it. He wouldn't be the first quarterback to transfer. And if he goes on to have a good career someplace else, okay, that happens. I just know that he's a guy that people are going to say, this is what we expected of him, this is what happened. And really, we talk about that game, did the two coaches in that game make the wrong decision at quarterback to start the season?
Well, I don't think Texas did necessarily because Hudson could. No, I don't think so. I think they had their – I think they had the guys that they felt like were best in the Texas has been high on Hudson Card. It went through two different coaching staffs too. So, obviously, there's something there.
But there is something to be said about when the lights are on.
When the lights are on.
And you don't know until you know, you're facing a pass rush. And what did Casey Thompson
Casey
do
when Thompson he filled in against Colorado? Casey Thompson was good last year. Yeah. He's been good this year.
On the
Casey
field.
Casey Thompson's good when the lights are on.
He may be a not-so-great practice player, and Hudson Card may be great at running what Sarkisian wants when he doesn't have to deal with the pass rush. But when it comes down to it, on the field, Casey Thompson is that dude, and Hudson Card isn't right now.
So let me let you get to A&M and Alabama. How much of that, I know from a Schadenfreude standpoint, Bill O'Brien losing to Alabama to A&M is amazing for Texans fans. How much did you think he played a role in that loss?
You know, I talked about it on the, not on the 2D, but that other show I'm on, the Killer Bees, mm-hmm. Last week about.
When you're Bell.
No, yeah, because I'm a bee apparently. But you and John are the biggest bees in the building. Sometimes we talk about game pressure when it comes to players. Sometimes game pressure is a thing that coaches feel. And the two times Alabama's faced actual game pressure where things were close and things that mattered, we've seen one unit, and now the defense has had its struggles as well, but we've seen one unit in particular kind of turtle up in big moments. What did when Florida went on their run, where was Alabama's offense? And then now Alabama was moving the ball. You could see that A&M's defense was wearing down because of their inability to even get first downs in offense or even run positive plays. So they're on the field a long time. But when it mattered, all of a sudden Brian Robinson doesn't exist.
Right.
And that's the Schadenfreude Bill O'Brien. But as far as the Alabama team itself, this was a team I kind of thought they were going into the year. Some issues, not certainly the team they were the last couple years. And they just have been able to play teams that could not take advantage of it. And shockingly enough, A&M was one of them. A&M actually did some things, some Tennessee breakers that got Calzada going. And Jimbo's that guy. Like when things happen in if you see a scrimmage or a spring game, oh, we're just holding things back. I mean, that's vanilla. That's why the offense didn't look good. Jimbo's actually that guy who won't run things because he's waiting for Alabama.
He got guys wide. I mean, he schemed guys wide. They had some coverage busts in the secondary, and Jimbo basically said there were some certain – they wanted to conflict the safeties and create some stress, and I think they did that. And Calzada, there was no sign that Calzada would play like this. There was no sign ever. There wasn't a flash here or a flash there. And then when he came back in after he had been hurt, now this is my question. He played with more confidence. He wasn't great in the third quarter. He wasn't as good in the second half. He did have some wide open throws that he took advantage of for touchdowns. Does he have what it takes to all of a sudden turn a corner and give A&M a chance to really salvage this season into a strong season after this win? Or is this going to be, could be danger here lurking with a letdown against Missouri?
I certainly hope not because Missouri can't stop anyone. Right. But that would be certainly a step back. I think he's just a young player in terms of experience, and you're going to get ups and downs. And now he had a great up on Saturday. If he's subpar or average against Missouri, it comes with not playing a lot of football. I mean, he's a first-year starter, despite how long he's been in the program. And in fact, according to how it broke down, he was the second choice. So what should we actually expect from a guy who hasn't played a lot of football and isn't even the first choice? We should expect things to not go perfect all the time. So if he's not great against Missouri, okay. You hope not, because it would mean that he didn't build off success and that A&M team didn't build off success. But if you're Jimbo Fisher, I would suggest, hey, you know the stuff you decided to break out against Alabama? Run it again.
Yeah.
Right. Missouri doesn't stop anyone.
No.
Don't allow that last week or that Saturday to be a one-time thing. Run those tendency breakers again until they can be stopped.
They show you they can beat them.
You're more talented than Missouri. You could just run the things you ran against Alabama. They would probably work.
Is that game at Mizzou or is that game
Mizzou?
Okay,
yeah, Georgia, Kentucky, 21. So there's the number three team in the nation. Cincinnati's 21.5 against UCF, Central Florida. Georgia's 21.5 against the number 11 team in the nation, Kentucky, who just went back to back wins against LSU and Florida. Florida was the upset. LSU, they were the favorite. 21.5 and the over under is 44.5. Georgia's given up one touchdown this year or two?
Two, I believe.
It's either one or two. Who has the better chance of pulling the upset? UCF against number 3 Cincinnati or number 11 Kentucky as 21.5 point favorites?
I would say UCF.
Yep.
I don't.
That's the right answer, Dale.
Oh, because you. Oh, did you place something?
You can
on
play
that?
It like it's already been played.
Okay. There's a thing with Kentucky. Their defensive line has some injury issues, so you would expect Georgia to try to attack that and maul them as much as they can. I just think UCF and their offense, despite their issues this year, I mean, they've lost to Navy. So, you know, it's not a vintage UCF team, at least one over the last 4 or 5 years or so. I just think that's the team with their offense and their ability to move the football that has a shot. Kentucky's going to get bludgeoned to death, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it'll be – maybe Georgia will have the same type of game they had against Arkansas and they'll get out quick. But it could be a game where Kentucky's defense, you know, holds up and holds up and holds up. But because of Georgia's defense, Kentucky's offense does nothing. And then you look up in the middle of the third quarter and it's 24-0. And you're not sure really how it got there. It's just this slow grind that Georgia put on Kentucky. They're not scoring. Georgia gets a turnover here.
It's
gets
so
short
true.
Fields. And all of a sudden it's 24-0. And Georgia,
that's how it happens.
And Georgia and Kentucky players are saying no more because of what Georgia's
doing.
Georgia's
got to them. They've got some boa constrictor tendencies to them right now.
Choke
from an offensive
out.
And defensive standpoint. That's who they feel like. Like once the boat race is on, it's on and it's over.
Yeah, no, they ain't no let up at that point.
Who you liking this week, Freddie? What game are you excited about?
Whatever Dell's excited about. I mean, listen.
You know what I'm excited about?
I defer to the expert on this. Listen, I'll tell you. You know what I'm excited about? I'm excited to see my Jayhawks have had 2 weeks off.
Okay, never mind. Forget that we even asked.
Texas Tech.
Forget that we even asked. that we asked if it's going to be Jayhawks.
Yeah, I'm excited for two coaches facing possibly their last stance. Now,
Eddie O and who?
And Manny Diaz.
I don't think LSU will fire Ed Orgeron until after
loses,
the year.
Either I'm just talking about a solidification of his fate. And you know what? If you get blown out by Florida, I mean, Florida doesn't seem like a team that would blow LSU out. But if it happens, I could see it. And the Manny Diaz
are they going all orange too? Aren't they? I think I saw red, and we like to talk about uniforms on the two deep. I want to say they're going all orange.
You might
this Saturday.
They might be going with that. I don't think it'll matter.
I just think if you look at the two games, certainly LSU they're upset. And Manny Diaz, remember last time he saw North Carolina, he got beat 62-26 in a game where they're in the top 10. They win that game. They go to the Orange Bowl. Mac Brown beat them. They went to the Orange Bowl. Mac Brown's already fired Manny Diaz once. He may do it remotely this time around. So we'll see. We'll see. Because the Hounds are at the door for Manny Diaz, and it's not a good North Carolina team. And if he gets embarrassed again, this time certainly would be on the road. I don't think he survives the weekend.
I got a question for you. Is there any chance that Will Rogers and Mike Leach?
This is a very specific question I feel like coming up.
Well, so it's Mississippi State and Alabama, but Alabama's secondary struggled against Zach Calzada. Uh-huh. I can't get that out of my mind. Mm-hmm. So the reason I'm asking this is Mississippi State went into A&M and beat A&M. A&M beat at the same home field they beat Alabama. And so I'm just, you know, styles make fights. Is there any chance that the weakness of the Alabama secondary, which I thought was kind of exploited a little bit last week by A&M at times, is there any chance that Will Rogers and Mike Leach can find enough holes to make that a good game? They're 17-point favorite on the road at Mississippi State, just to give it context. But is there any chance that Bama is not coming out with blood in their eyes and instead the matchup becomes a problem for them at all, and it becomes a more competitive game than expected?
Well, Phil Steele was on with Charlie earlier in the week, and he said that the initial thought would be that Alabama, after a loss, would just come out and destroy a team. And that's
right.
Not really the case. They don't really cover the number.
I think they're like 10-8 against the number.
It's not great, and I think it's even worse the last couple of opportunities. So if you are leaning with history, Alabama, after a loss, isn't great, and maybe you take Miss State in that number. And Miss State outgained Memphis. They lost that game on a weird punt return, so their record should be a little different. And we saw what they did against A&M. I don't know if you want to play the transitive property that it, Mississippi State goes in A&M.
It's kind of playing it out there.
Yeah. But, I mean, we've seen Mississippi State play up, and now this is certainly a different beast. But, you know, I could see it. I could see them playing within that number.
I could see there being a little bit more points scored in that one. I could see Mississippi State being able to get into the 20s and make it kind of interesting.
65.
Well, they have to. And I tell you another game that I think is upset alert. Every week Oklahoma plays, it's upset alert.
Yeah.
Yes.
But they got TCU and Zach Evans can run. That team can run the football. I'm curious to see how Oklahoma, after all that energy is expended, the emotions and everything, they're at home, they're against TCU. But we see really not a game. You think they'll win that easy?
No, because Caleb Williams is a different dude.
He appears to be.
I just feel like, and he just, what they looked like, I mean, we talked about it on the show last week. He should have been your starter, right? I mean, he should have been, but I get it why you had to go with Spencer Rattler and all that kind of stuff. Dell talked about it on the show. But I think you're going to have – when you got a quarterback who you know can do a little bit of everything and has that kind of swag that your boy Caleb Williams does, I think Oklahoma goes in and takes care of business.
Yeah, and
this
they've been good after Texas. I think Lincoln Riley's only lost one – now, they don't lose games, period, but most of his losses come before the Texas game. I think they may have lost one regular season game since he's been there after Texas. So – After the game overall, not the immediate following week. I don't think they've lost immediately after. The Texas game has really been a jump off point. If they struggle beforehand, they win that game.
Yeah.
They go on to big things. Or even if they lose the Texas game, they respond. They don't get.
They almost always respond. Yeah. Well, it's almost always a loss. Texas, talking about.
Yeah.
But they almost always bounce back strong in the next games.
Yeah.
Against the spread and straight up.
Oklahoma is not affected by winning the Texas game close or big.
No.
Their program, they have such a base and a foundation that it's not just another game, certainly, but they're able to bounce back. Speaking of Texas, they're playing a team that's almost a top 10 team. And how many people have you even seen Oklahoma State play this year?
No, I watched them
play Boise State.
I saw a couple of series from one game. It's shocking. When I saw Oklahoma State was a 12 seed, it was
number
a 12 seed, number 12 in the nation, I'm like, wait, this can't be right.
Yeah.
They're 5-0.
Just plugging along.
Okay.
They play
and good, in Texas is a 5.5 point.
Yeah, favorite. They play good defense. Offense isn't great. We talk about Spencer Rattler. There's another Spencer there, and I never trust a Spencer to play quarterback for me.
No.
Spencer Sanders, Spencer Rattler.
Spencer Confidential movie was awful.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, I feel like Desmond Ritter should be named Spencer the way he plays from time to time.
I know.
I mean, it's you know what? I don't.
Yet,
I'm about to lean into something.
Spencer Dinwiddie was terrible.
At quarterback, certainly. I'm going to lean into something. Team Lightskin.
Oh, see, you can say that, though.
And this is, yeah. No, only Dell can say that. But this is what I've accused Dell of, and it's amazing how often he finds faults
Rattler,
in the light-skinned quarterbacks.
Rattler.
Except for Patrick Mahomes.
Certainly.
Except for Patrick Mahomes.
He didn't win in college either.
Well, fair.
See, that's all.
Rattler.
Rattler. Next level.
Caleb Williams.
When it takes off.
Casey Thompson.
Just one game. Casey didn't win. He got benched for Hudson Card. Hudson Card beat
no,
him out.
No, he's back. He's back.
Yeah, okay.
And Hudson Card's light-skinned.
He's white.
Well, Jason Bean. Team
well, that's
skin,
the original
the
light skin.
Okay.
White guys.
Okay.
We're taking that from us, Dell.
Sure. I'm not taking
you took
anything from
Dance,
you.
Dance, Gavin, dance. Don't take away, our light skin quarterbacks
me,
like Hudson Card.
I was at that show. I didn't take anything away from you guys. Don't worry. That is still yours.
Are we still there?
Yeah.
It's still us?
That
that's
is
why
still
you're
yours.
Fusion Dell.
Yeah.
That's Fusion Dell,
although,
also known as Mustache Dell, also a.k.a. Dell Oro.
One of the writers for their music is half Asian, half black, so...
Oh, wow.
And I think he's
little Tiger Woods action going
guitar.
On.
Yeah. Well, Will Swan, yeah. So there's some fusion in Dance, Gavin, Dance, but the crowd itself, nah.
More like one of your Avril Lavigne concerts.
I've never been to one of those.
That's Dell. You can catch he and Freddie D.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Coming up this weekend on Saturday.
Do it.
On Sports Map, as they'll be talking college football. Give your time.
5 to 8 Central Standard Time.
Yeah, and I heard Fred talking about when we're on. We really don't where we're on. We really don't know. The Aggies won't cover us up this week, so I'm not sure how that'll work. We definitely will be on 92.5 this week, I believe, because the Aggies don't cover us up. But we might be on 97.5 as well.
Oh,
there you go.
Might.
Oh, we getting that VIP treatment Saturday. Don
Freddie, make sure you check him out. I want to tell you about VIP treatment from carsforkids.org. They will come out there and give you the white glove treatment, taking away your truck or your car or your motorcycle. It could be all busted out, doesn't run, you can't sell it, you can't do anything with it, you want it off the property, your wife's like, get it out of here, this is a bunch of junk, or maybe you're saying it, you don't want to spend money to haul it off, or maybe you're like, no, one day I'm going to restore it. You're not going to restore it. So look, what you need to do is make sure and give your friends over at Cars for Kids a chance to turn that vehicle into funding for the Houston Can Academy, and that's exactly what they do. And they will come out, take that vehicle, give you a $50 gift card from Visa whenever you mention you heard about it from ESPN 97.5, and you get a tax write-off. So write off the car and not the kids with carsforkids.org. Go to carsforkids.org.
We love our Astros in Houston. and all across the Lone Star State. We're Texas proud, and we shout it loud. Our brand of baseball is great. Our outfield has plenty of muscle. Our guys can sure hit a ton.
Bye, bitch.
This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.